We're now ready to begin the 45th chapter, which continues with this same narrative that we've just been reading and discussing in chapter 44. No longer would there be any doubt in Joseph's mind that his brothers were completely changed men. He had put them to real severe tests and had passed these tests. The testing had been a means of spiritual growth for them. They were more conscious than ever of the leading of God and their responsibility to God. They became more aware of their own selves and their own guilt. They saw how unworthy they really had been, how they really did not deserve God's mercy, how they had certainly had some treacherous actions and feelings in the past. And their troubles had brought them all closer together. They were now of one mind. They had a love one for another and a love for the Father like they'd never had before. So now this family was in the most harmony that it had ever been in since its inception. And it's a result of these events and these testings that Joseph has put them through. And then, with Judah making such a strong plea that Joseph allow him to take Benjamin's punishment in his place, so that Benjamin would go home free and really spare his father probably the death of his father, Joseph could no longer control his emotions. Not only did the brothers not resent Benjamin, they were even willing to share his sufferings, and in Judah's case, he was willing to die for him. So, chapter 45, beginning with the first verse, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. At this time, Joseph had a sudden surge of emotion. He very clearly cried for all of his servants to leave the room. He wanted to be left alone now with his brothers for what was about to happen. And what was about to transpire would be not appropriate for anyone not in the family to see. This was strictly a family matter now. This was something that didn't involve any of the other Egyptians, and Joseph wanted this to remain strictly a private family matter. He wanted to be alone with these men from Canaan. Though the servants may not have understood what he was doing, and may even have wondered whether he would be safe to be alone with them, he was so insistent that they left in haste and did what he commanded. Verses 2 and 3 say, "And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence." So while Joseph was now alone with his brothers, he cried out to them that he was their brother Joseph, the one that they thought was dead. He was the one that they had tried to get rid of and did get rid of by selling him in slavery, and they didn't know what had happened to him. He was sobbing and crying so loudly that those whom he had dismissed from the room couldn't help but overhear what was happening, and they in turn soon carried the news to Pharaoh's house, for Pharaoh's house also heard what was happening to him. No longer speaking through an interpreter, he announced to them in their own language, "I am Joseph." This must have been like a bolt of lightning hitting them. His brothers didn't have any words to say. And those who try to describe this dramatic scene, this great confrontation now, find also it's difficult to put this into words as exactly what the situation was. This is probably the most dramatic confrontation and reunion in all literature. And it's far more than literature. This was the event which established the miracle nation of the children of Israel. This was the founding of that unique people through whom would be given to the world the scriptures and of whom one day the Savior would come. This is the beginning seed now of that true nation of Canaan. Had this scene not happened, the children of Israel would soon have scattered and merged with the other people of the Middle East, the Ishmaelites and Edomites and Canaanites. These brothers had grown pretty far apart. They had their own ideas and concepts and ways. They really were not united. They didn't have a common feeling, but they were each going their own separate ways, and it wouldn't be much longer now, especially with the death of Israel, that they would be scattered from amongst themselves. And so this meeting had been a long time in preparation. God had a long-range goal, and he worked for years to bring the nation to this one point that it's in right now. Ephesians 1:11 says he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Joseph hadn't known all of his reason for being sold into slavery into Egypt, hadn't known why he'd been in prison all this time. He had no idea that he was going to be given to this high post of authority. And even when that happened, he really didn't know the reason for it. This was not known to him, nor did the other brothers know what was happening. They didn't know why these things happened. They didn't know what the result was going to be. But now it all comes together. So Joseph immediately follows up his traumatic announcement, lets his brothers go into shock, and he asks a question that he had long been wondering himself, is my father still living? And of course they had discussed their father previously, but now the question was different, coming from a loving son instead of a brusque Egyptian official. He wanted to hear not the mere facts concerning some unknown stranger, but he wanted to know more intimate details about his father's welfare, the things that can only be conveyed from one family member to another. If their sense of guilt had been strong before, it must have now been literally overpowering. And Joseph wished to set their minds at ease by changing this interview quickly into a personal council of family members rather than an inquisition by a high official of a foreign government. Nevertheless, the 11 brothers were completely speechless. They were troubled at his presence, according to the Authorized Version, but the actual Hebrew word Bahal, B-A-H-A-L, also means amazed or frightened or even terrified. And of course, this is a very similar scene to another dramatic confrontation which will come at the end of this age when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to meet his brothers of the house of Israel, those who rejected him and even urged his crucifixion when he first came to them. Zechariah 12:10 says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." And so in many ways, this parallel situation of Joseph confronting his brothers when they now see who he really is, that parallel with Christ confronting his brothers when he comes again the second time, this is one of the reasons that many think that Joseph is to be a type of Christ. Verses 4 and 5, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Joseph gradually put their minds at ease, proving that he no longer was resentful against them and was not planning to take any revenge on them for what they'd done to him. So he asked them to come near so he could tell them what had happened when they sold him into Egypt. He had long since learned that God had allowed him to do this for his own purposes. The Lord had worked all these seemingly unplanned circumstances out in such a way that Joseph had been placed in Egypt to preserve life through the great famine, not only of those in Egypt, but especially those of his own household. He wanted to preserve Israel so that Israel could eventually become the great nation that it needed to be. And all these events were happening to eventually bring about the birth and the life of the Messiah. So we see here how great the power and the wisdom and the all-knowing purpose of God is to bring these things about like he did. We must close our lesson there. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.